Great, thank you, Andrew. Well, it's good to be here. We've been anticipating this. Excellent to be here. I'm going to be speaking from the book of Romans this morning. So the guys asked me to talk about gospel partnership and the importance of churches partnering together and to try and give a bit more flavour of what we're doing in advance. So that's what I'm going to aim to do. So I'm going to do that by looking at the Apostle Paul's letter to the Romans. I'm going to be right at the beginning of the letter and then at the end as well. So let's read this. It should appear on the screen. Romans chapter 1, verse 7 verses say, Paul, a servant of Christ Jesus, called to be an apostle and set apart for the gospel of God, the gospel he promised beforehand through his prophets in the Holy Scriptures, regarding his son, who as to his earthly life was a descendant of David, and who through the spirit of holiness was appointed the Son of God in power, by his resurrection from the dead, Jesus Christ our Lord. Through him we receive grace and apostleship to call all the Gentiles to the obedience that comes from faith for his name's sake. And you also are amongst those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. To all in Rome who are loved by God and called to be his holy people, grace and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Wonderful. And then we'll turn to the end of the letter, chapter 16 and verse 25, where Paul concludes by saying, Now to him who is able to establish you in accordance with my gospel, the message I proclaim about Jesus Christ, in keeping with the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and made known through the prophetic writings by the command of the eternal God, so that all the Gentiles might come to the obedience that comes from faith. To the only wise God be glory forever through Jesus Christ. Amen. How letters begin and end is important. We see that particularly in Bible letters. How this letter begins and ends is really important. The letter to the Romans is really important. Probably this is the most important letter in the Bible. I was looking on your website this morning before coming out and saw that you did a series in Romans 4 years ago, which had the title Romans, the most important letter ever written, ? Probably Romans is the most important letter ever written. If that's all we had of scripture, it would be enough. There's enough in Romans to tell us everything we really need to know about the gospel. It's had the most extraordinary impact, and the letter to the Romans has had particular impact upon some very significant figures in church history who themselves have then had a huge impact in different parts of the world. So think of somebody like Augustine in the 4th century in North Africa, got a revelation of who God was by reading the letter to the Romans, really transformed the whole way the church thought operated. Augustine's theology is probably the most significant theologian in the history of the church, St. Augustine, because he converted as he read the book of Romans. Think of Martin Luther in Germany. He was reading the letter to the Romans, and he was transformed. He suddenly saw that salvation comes by faith, not by works. That transformed him personally. That led to the Reformation. That led to the transformation of Europe, religiously, theologically, politically, in every way. Think about John Wesley, 18th century. Similarly, he was reading the letter to the Romans, had what he describes as his heart was strangely warmed, suddenly had a revelation of what it meant to come into salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. And he was the father of Methodism. Of course, that was so influential down here in the West Country. I was reading Wesley's journals recently, and the number of times he's down in this part of the world, and of course, all the Wesleyan chapels there still are, which so define the landscape of Cornwall, a huge revival across Great Britain and in America under Wesley's leadership in many ways. So the letter to the Romans has a huge, huge impact upon individuals, which has had huge impact upon churches, has had huge impact upon nations, cultures, upon the world. This is a really important letter. And the way that Paul starts it and finishes is really significant. Now, because Romans is such an important letter, and because it contains so much which is wonderful, and also a lot which is really difficult and complicated, as we read the letter to the Romans, I think sometimes we're in danger of missing what the letter to the Romans is really about. And what it's really about is that it is a missionary letter. It's an apostolic missionary letter. And we see that from the way that Paul starts it and the way that Paul ends it. And if we put up those two scriptures I read side by side, you should be able to see this. See how at both the beginning and the end, Paul says the same thing. So where Paul begins the letter and ends it is saying that what it's all about is the obedience of the nations for the glory of God. That's his apostolic mission, is to see all peoples come to the obedience of faith for the glory of God. That's what he's about as an apostle called by God, and that's what this letter is about, and that's what he wants the Roman church to get caught up in, this apostolic mission to all peoples of the earth, all nations, so they might all come to the obedience of faith for the glory of God. And the apostle Paul rejoices that the Roman church is now caught up in this. They are God's holy people. You also are amongst those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. You are loved by God. You are called to be his holy people. You've been caught up in this. They've been included. They've been called into gospel partnership. And that partnership in the gospel calls the Roman church into gospel mission to the ends of the earth. And it calls them into the obedience of faith for the glory of God. That's what the letter is about. And that's what it's about for us. In this letter, what we see is that the gospel advances on two frontiers or two tracks. One of our advanced phrases we often use is we talk about the gospel going to the ends of the earth and to the depths of our hearts. It's two frontiers of the gospel. All the peoples of the earth might come to a knowledge of God, might come to the obedience of faith for the glory of God. That's this, the two frontiers on which the gospel needs to go forward. And local churches like our church in Poole, like your church here in Truro or Newquay or Porthtown or Camborne, need to be on track with this as well. We need to understand that we are called to see the gospel go to the ends of the earth and to the depths of our hearts. We've been called on mission to see all peoples come to the obedience of faith for the glory of God. That's what gospel partnership is about. That's what the letter to the Romans is about. And that's what I want to speak to you about this morning. So first of all, let's think about what it means to go to the ends of the earth. The gospel has come to these Romans. And think about what Rome was like at this time when Paul writes them. The city of Rome was the center of the universe. It was the largest city on the earth. About 1 million people, we think, lived in Rome at this time. It was the greatest city on the world. And there was never a city again of 1 million people that large until London in the 19th century. Rome was very peculiar in its size, its scale, and its power and its influence. This vast city of 1 million people, the center of the universe, but all the nations of the world need to be reached, not just Rome. And so towards the end of the letter in Romans 15, the Apostle Paul says, "Since I have been longing for many years to visit you, I plan to do so when I go to Spain. I hope to see you while passing through and that you will assist me or your partner with me on my journey there after I have enjoyed your company for a while." So what the Apostle Paul is trying to do, he wants to go to Rome. He says he's been longing for years to come and see them, but he wants to see them and then from them go on further, go on to Rome. He wants them to assist him, help him, partner with him in getting to Spain. And what we see in this letter is the amazing multi-ethnic, globe-spanning, multicultural dynamic of the gospel. So the Apostle Paul writes the letter to the Romans from the city of Corinth. It's another great city in the ancient world. And as he writes, he's actually headed to Jerusalem, and he's taking a gift to the church in Jerusalem from the churches in Macedonia and Achaia. And as he does that, he's writing this letter to the Romans and saying that when he comes to see them, he then wants them to help him get on to Spain. So what we see that right at the beginning, at the epicenter of the Christian gospel, is this multi-ethnic, cross-cultural, globe-spanning dynamic. The aim is that all peoples come to the obedience of faith for the glory of God. The gospel has to keep going right to the ends of the earth. Now, where the ends of the earth are depends upon where you are standing. So here in Truro, what is your ends of the earth? I found this map the other day. I thought illustrated this quite well of what we might think about the UK, how the UK looks. So Grace and I live in the bit which says retirement homes. You're down here in the bit with pasties and surfers. There's a vast, anywhere north of Salisbury, the north. So down in the southwest, anything north of Salisbury might feel like the ends of the earth. You might feel that being down in this part of Cornwall, that you're at the ends of the earth. And I know that can sometimes be the mentality. And up country can feel a long way away, that the Tamar is this vast divide which cuts off Cornwall from the rest of the UK. We have this tradition in my family, which we've done ever since my dad was coming down as a child to Cornwall on holiday. When we cross the Tamar, we always lower the windows of the car to let out the English air and let in the Cornish air. It's a family tradition we have. So we came down on Friday night and we're coming down across the Tamar and we let down the windows. And as we cross the Tamar, that mighty river, many miles wide, thousands of meters deep. As we crossed the Tamar, it started snowing and there was wind and snow and coming into the car. But that's what we have to do, is you come to the ends of the earth. So where the ends of the earth, what feels like the ends of the earth depends upon where you're standing. Now, Paul says he wants to go to Rome, which felt like probably the center of the earth. It's a great city, but he wants to go to Spain. And Spain would have felt like the ends of the earth. When we read the story of the prophet Jonah in the Old Testament, when he tries to run away from God, we're told he tries to run away to a place called Tarshish, which we think was in Spain. That's because the furthest you could get away in the kind of mental conception of what the world was like in the ancient world was Spain was as far as you could get. And so Paul wants to get as far as you can get because the gospel has to go to the ends of the earth. The gospel has to go to the ends of the earth. And here's the deal. Local churches like yours are meant to be caught up in ends of the earth mission. Now, Rome was a very cosmopolitan place. All roads lead to Rome. If you made it to Rome, why would you want to go anywhere else? That kind of place. It might be, in our context, we might think of that like London. Everybody goes to London. I was talking to Tao before the service, and he came from southeast London, came from Bermondsey to Truro, left the centre to come to the ends of the earth. The big cultural shock coming from inner city London down to Cornwall. But that's what the gospel does. So even if you're in Rome, the gospel isn't meant to stay there. The gospel is meant to go out to the ends of the earth. To go out to the ends of the earth. And where the ends of the earth is depends upon where you're standing. And local churches have to be caught up in this. So Paul wants the Roman church caught up in this partnering of sending. And just think about how amazing this whole worldview was for Paul. Paul, a Jew and a Pharisee. The whole mental framework, the religious framework, the cultural framework in which Paul would have operated was not to go to the ends of the earth, but to try and get as close into the center of God's promises as possible, which meant getting as close into physical proximity to the temple as possible. For a Pharisee like Paul, the world would have been seen as a series of concentric rings, that out here are the barbarians, the Gentiles, the godless peoples. Then you have God's people, Israel. You have the land of Israel given by promise to Abraham, the ancestor of the Jewish people. And so to be in the land of Israel was important. But then at the center of the land was the city of Jerusalem, the city of David, the city of the king. And so if you wanted to get close to God, actually you wanted to come to Jerusalem because that's God's city, that's God's place, Mount Zion, where God dwells. And once you got into Jerusalem, where you wanted to be was inside the temple, because this is God's temple, this is God's house, this is where God dwells. But within the temple, there were different court. So you came in first, and there was the court of the Gentiles where non-Jews were allowed to go. But you, as a faithful Jew, as a Pharisee, you'd not want to be there. You'd want to pass through. You want to come through to the court of the Israelites, to come through to where faithful Israelites could come. But then within that, there was a smaller place. There was the holy place where only the priests, if you were belonging to the tribe of Levi, you could go in there. But right at the heart of the temple was the holiest place, the Holy of Holies, where the Ark of the Covenant lived, which contained the rod which Aaron had had, which budded, and the tablets of stone, which contained the commandments that God had given to Moses. And only the high priest, and only one day a year, could he go into that place. And that was the place where God was most intensely and powerfully felt. That's where God dwelt. And so, for Paul's framework, he wanted to be as close to that as possible. Because that's how you got close to God. You get as close in. Now, what happens when Jesus died at Calvary? What we read is that at that moment, the temple curtain, the curtain which divided the holiest place from view, was torn in two. That's a symbol of what God was doing. That suddenly, because of the cross of Christ, the whole thing was turned inside out, upside down, turned around, spun around, changed. that rather than going in now, God's people are meant to go out, meant to go out. The concentric rings work the other way. The Apostle Peter illustrates this in the introduction to his first letter, where he says this: to God's elect, exiles scattered throughout the provinces, who have been chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father through the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to be obedient to Jesus Christ and sprinkled by his blood. Peter says to the churches scattered, you are scattered, you are in exile, but you're chosen, you're known, God chose you. And the whole point now for Christians, for God's people, is that rather than going to a physical temple to experience the presence of God, we are now described as living stones in a living temple, and we are meant to be scattered. We, as Peter says here, we're chosen to be scattered. We are meant to go to the ends of the earth, and wherever we are, God's presence is with us. We don't have to go to a place to get close to God. We carry the presence of God with us. And wherever churches like this have started and nourished and faithfully witnessing to the reality of who Jesus Christ is, here in this room today is part of the temple of God. God's presence is in this room because in this room are many living stones who are themselves filled with the presence of God, who have been chosen by God to be scattered amongst the nations. That's the gospel call now, to go to all the nations of the earth. They might come to the obedience of faith for the glory of God. It's an extraordinary mind shift for the Apostle Paul, extraordinary change in how he would have looked at the world, but it means that Christianity, by definition, from its beginning, was cross-cultural, multinational, globe-spanning. Has to be. Now, it has to be if its central message about Jesus Christ is true. Because when we talk about Jesus, we're not talking about just some little local deity. What we're talking about, who we're talking about, is the God who made all things, knows all things, to whom all things belong. We're talking about the one who is king of all the earth. And so we, his people, have to go to all the earth with the good news, with the proclamation of this king. Now, where this grounds in terms of thinking about what it means to be in a partnership, in a family, in a movement of churches, is that international partnerships and friendships, I'm convinced, are essential for us. That churches like ours have to be involved in partnership, have to have friendship, have to be involved in mission around the world. That pulls us, partnership pulls us into a bigger world, so we see more fully what is being described here, the gospel going to all the peoples of the earth, they might come to obedience of faith for the glory of God. So for us, as part of being part of the Advance partnership, what does that mean? What does it mean practically? So Advance at the moment is a small movement of churches, about 140 churches around the world. About 25 or so churches in the UK. We've got one church in Zug, near Zurich in Switzerland. That's our one European church. We'd love to see more churches getting started in Europe. But in the UK, we're about 25 churches who partner together, help one another, encourage one another, strengthen each other, provoke one another into the mission to which we're called. There are a whole bunch of churches in India and Nepal. Just this past week, there was a leaders gathering in Nepal. About 130 leaders from our churches in Nepal came together. I was able to be at that gathering, the equivalent gathering a few years back. Just amazing. Talk about ends of the earth. So some of the brothers and sisters that I met in Nepal when I was there, they had come to our 5-day leaders gathering in Kathmandu. That is a journey. That's not like crossing the Tamar and getting into England out of Cornwall. This is a journey. So some of them had come from the mountainous regions, which had meant walking for 2 days with their children and then getting on a bus for 2 days in order to come to Kathmandu and be part of our leaders gathering. So as somebody who has taken part in speaking at that ups the sense of responsibility in terms of thinking, what am I going to bring to these people? If people have taken 4 days, 2 days of walking, 2 days on a bus with their kids to come and listen to me, that's crazy. They're beautiful people, and there's some amazing things happening in Nepal especially. There's churches being planted the whole time. We're part of that. You are connected to that if you're part of Advance. There are a whole bunch of churches in Africa. I've got a lot of churches in South Africa. As Andrew mentioned, I was in Zimbabwe a few weeks ago with the church there who are looking at partnering with us, a church which started about 18 months ago, seen very rapid growth, about 400 of them already. It's great to be with them and talk with them about what that meant. We've got a partner church in Tanzania, in Kenya. We've got a whole bunch of churches in Uganda. We've got a number of churches in the States, church in Australia, stuff happening in Thailand. So we've got these real friendships and connections around the world. And being in partnership with them helps us. It helps me. So it helps pull me into that bigger world. It helps pull my church into that bigger world because these are people we have meaningful relationship with, who we pray for, who we get to zoom in and talk to, who we report stories from, who we share news about, that we are in this together. That being part of the Advance family mean that in some way you're part of church planting in up in the Himalayas in Nepal. That you're involved in some way in reaching unreached people groups in Thailand. That Truro, Grace Church, Blaze Church, Newquay, have got some meaningful connection with what is happening with our friends at Coastlands Church in Adelaide in Australia. We're partnering together that all peoples of the earth might come to the obedience of faith for the glory of God. And part of what this does for me, and I think in for our church in our setting, is that because we're part of this partnership that has churches around the world, that actually also opens our eyes to see gospel opportunity locally and to see what the Lord is doing with the nations in our local vicinity. So in our context, in Poole and Bournemouth, as in many areas, there's been a significant demographic shift over recent years. We particularly see that in our university. We've got a university in Bournemouth. About 20,000 students in Bournemouth, of whom 3,000 are internationals, and there's 100 different nations represented amongst those 3,000 international students. And the top 10 biggest groups of international students a lot of them are from nations which are hard to reach. They're from places like Turkey, like China. They come from those kind of nations where it's hard to go with the gospel. But they've come as students to study in my town. They're our next door neighbors. They're walking our streets. And being part of a partnership which helps put us into gospel mission around the world helps open our eyes to the reality of what's happening amongst our neighbors, what's happening on the street next door, the people who are amongst us, how God is bringing the nations to us. We have to partner in mission. Local churches need to partner in mission. Even if you don't actually go yourself, you still need to be involved in partnership. Think about what Paul says to this Roman church. I'm going to come and see you. I've been longing to see you, but then I want you to assist me. I want you to partner with me in going to Spain. The Roman church is going to be caught up in global mission because the whole deal is that the gospel goes to all the peoples of the earth. They might all come to the obedience of faith for the glory of God. The Roman church needs to be caught up in that. You're going to help get me to Spain. How does that happen? It happens when a local church, like the Roman church, like this church, like my church, prays for global mission, prays specifically into particular situations. I'm sure Paul would have got the Roman church praying to what he was going to do in Spain. It happens because sometimes there are co-workers who emerge. You say, yes, actually, we will go. We're not told. We don't know what happened about Paul's trip to Spain, but maybe someone from the church in Rome went with him. That's quite possible. It might be that over the years ahead, please God, there'll be people from your churches who actually go, get involved in ends of the earth mission by literally going yourselves. It happens through the sharing of finance. I'm sure Paul would have needed some financial assistance from the Roman church as he went on to Spain. That's something that we're involved in together. A lot of our giving, our financial giving to Advance, a lot of that goes to support those particularly in less resourced areas. A lot of our financial support goes to help our brothers and sisters in places like Nepal, in some of the African contexts where finances are much tighter and much more limiting. We're partnering with them in order to help them in the gospel mission to which we have all been called. The gospel must go to the ends of the earth. And Grace Church Truro and Blaze Church Newquay and King's Arms Camborne and Fourth Tower and all need to be caught up in that ends of the earth mission, what we're called to. That's the first frontier of the gospel. Second frontier of the gospel is that it does need to go to the depths of our hearts or the depths of our souls. I won't take so long on this. I'm running out of time already. Paul says He wants all people, this is the apostolic mission, all peoples, all nations, to come to the obedience of faith. They need to learn to obey Jesus. This is what Jesus said in the Great Commission. Go and make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey. Now, I don't know about you, but obey is not a word that I particularly like. I don't like being told to obey rules. And the way the human heart is wired is that we always tend to push to the limit. This is what law does. This is what laws do. If somebody puts a law in place, the natural human tendency is to push as close as you can to that law. You push as tight as you can. So the speed limit now imposed in some of our streets is 20. Who wants to drive at 20? You push it as far as you can, watching out for the speed cameras. Mum says to her son, you've got to be off your Xbox at 9 o'clock in the evening. Son pushes it to 901, 902, 903. How far can we push it? Remaining almost within the law, but just pushing it as far as we can. That's the human heart. That is not Christianity. That's not the gospel message. What Christian obedience means, what Paul's looking for, is an obedience of faith. An obedience of faith. You know, obedience can be imposed. Obedience can be like a suit of armor. It's something that's clamped onto us and restricts us and which we chafe against. Or obedience can be something which flows from out of us, something which is within us. That's what the gospel does. The obedience of faith comes from within. What faith does, it works on every part of us. Faith works on our wills, on how we make decisions. Faith works on our thoughts, on our emotions, and brings them into obedience to Jesus Christ. Faith works on our bodies. It's our bodies often which would lead us into things which are contrary to what God would have for us. And faith works on our bodies becoming obedient to Jesus. Faith works on our souls. Now, biblically speaking, the word soul is a beautiful word. It's a beautiful biblical word. It's not the sort of airy thing. We often think about it in the way we think. The soul, biblically speaking, the soul is the whole of us. It's all of me. It's the meanest of me is my soul. The soul is my will and my thoughts, my emotions, my actions. The whole of me is my soul. And what faith does is get hold of our souls. The gospel has to advance to the ends of the earth into the depths of our souls, depths of our hearts. Gets to the very bottom of us, the obedience of faith. What the obedience of faith does, actually, this is really good news. The obedience of faith brings us into genuine integrity. It brings us into real human authenticity, where the meanness of me is aligned, is together, because the meanness of me is shaped by the obedience of faith to Jesus Christ. That the whole of me, my decision-making processes, my emotions, even my body, the whole of me is wanting to conform to the image of Christ, wanting to be obedient to him, obedience which isn't imposed upon me and which I chafe against, but an obedience which comes out of me because it's a response of faith. That's what we as Christians are called to. That's good news. It might be that you're not a Christian, not a follower of Jesus. You're here with us this morning. It's great that you're here. You are not being asked. You're not being invited into a system of rules which is going to impose a suit of armor upon you against which you will chafe. What you are being invited to in relationship with Jesus Christ is a transformation of your heart, that you see the one, the thing which is more precious, desirable than anything else. You see the one who is the treasure above all treasures, the one in whom is found the meaning of life, the epicenter of all your joys, desires, and longings are found in Jesus Christ. And when you find him, you can be so transformed that there is faith that flows out of you, faith in him, in his love, in the power of his sacrifice, covering your sin, dealing with it, in faith in him bringing you into relationship with his heavenly Father, faith that you now can enter into the very presence of God, wherever in the earth you live, whatever your background is, faith that Christ has brought you into union with him now and forever. Your eternal destiny is secure. That's what you find in Christ Jesus. That faith is born, and that transforms you. It means that you want to live in a way which reflects him, honors him, is obedient to him. Every part of you, your will, your thoughts, your emotions, your body, everything, living for Jesus. That's what we're called to do. That's how we're called to live. That's what churches like this are meant to be like. Full of people who have come to the obedience of faith, an obedience of faith which brings life, purity, joyfulness, liberty, authenticity, integrity. All the good stuff flows out of obedience of faith to Jesus Christ. Gospel advances on these two frontiers. It has to go to the ends of the earth, has to go to the depths of our souls, has to transform us. The gospel is a transforming message. There's a sense in which we get to partner with Jesus. Look what Paul says. This is, you belong to Jesus Christ. You also are amongst those Gentiles who are called to belong to Jesus Christ. You get to partner with Jesus Christ. You get to partner with Jesus Christ. And partnership, as we're in with Advance, helps with that as well. It does that because, for me, being part of a partnership of churches, it pulls me into a greater sense of family. So I know when I'm, as I normally am, in our church in Paul, seeking to serve the Lord and his people in that context, it's very easy to get very introspective. It's very easy to get very small-minded. But being part of a partnership of churches reminds me that I am part of something bigger. Now, the Church of Jesus Christ is massive and epic beyond any scale we can comprehend. It's vast. In the multitudes of people it involves, and its scale of global reach through the ages, it's much bigger than we can get. We won't be able to comprehend it until we stand in glory before the great throne of Jesus Christ. But being part of a family of churches like Advance gives me a taste. I'm part of something bigger. And that helps pull me out of my introspection, helps pull me out of my isolation. It gives me a greater sense of responsibility, actually. I want to live in obedience of faith to Jesus Christ because I am part of this greater family. And I don't want to let this greater family down. And that should be, that's a motivation for us. That Grace Church, Truro, Blaze Church, Newquay, North Tower and Camborne. Churches live in a way which helps, which encourages the rest of the family, that blesses the rest of the body, that they're the stories that are told. So I'll go away from here and I'll talk about you. I'll talk about you to my church back in Poole. There'll be other contexts in which I talk about you. Next week, Grace and I with Grace Church in Waterloo in London, a very different kind of context. The weekend after that, we're with our friends at Lift Church in Zug in Switzerland, again, a very different kind of context. We'll be telling stories. And when we go and say, hey, we had a great time with this church. Last week I was with the Redeemer Church in Plymouth. And last Sunday I was telling my church about how wonderful they were. When a local church like yours lives in the obedience of faith to Jesus Christ, the stories seep out. And other churches are themselves encouraged and blessed. That's what partnership does. So, Grace Church Truro, Blaze Church Newquay, North Tarrant Church Plant, King's Arms Camborne, remember what you are called to, what it means. We are called to be part of this apostolic mission, to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to all the peoples of the earth, to the ends of the earth, wherever that might be, depending upon where you're standing, what the ends of the earth look like, and to call all peoples to the obedience of faith for the glory of God. What happens with you can resound to the glory of God. What happens in this church can cause more glory, somehow wonderfully, to accrue to the name of Jesus Christ, that his name is increasingly honored, loved, revered, worshipped because of what happens in churches like yours. You have a part to play in global mission. You have to see that, know it, believe it, work it out. And you have a part to play in living out, demonstrating, and calling others to the obedience of faith for the glory of God. Amen? Let me pray. King Jesus, thank you so much for this glorious gospel which you have revealed to us and which we are caught up in. Lord, thank you for the churches represented here this morning. Thank you for what you have done here in Cornwall over the last 20 years with churches being started and established. And Lord, through challenging times and good times, you've been faithful. Lord, I pray, Lord, for those here this morning. I pray that we would do our part. We would engage in partnership with others to carry the gospel to the ends of the earth and see it penetrate to the depths of people's hearts, that there might be this lived out obedience of faith to Jesus Christ, the glory of your name. So I pray that for the guys down here, where it can at times feel a little bit isolated from other parts of the country, I pray that wouldn't be the case. I pray there would be an increasing sense of partnership across the UK and globally, of what it means to be standing together, working together in apostolic mission to the ends of the earth. Well, thank you that the gospel didn't stop in Jerusalem and Judea. Thank you it didn't even stop in Rome. Thank you it went on to Spain. Thank you the gospel now has gone to the four corners of the earth, and we're part of that and called to continue that great apostolic missionary advance. That's what we look for, and I pray that these churches be caught up in that in a fresh way, with fresh joy and delight and intentionality. In your name and for your glory, we ask it, King Jesus. Amen.